morning. It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Wednesday, April 3rd, 2019. We have about 24 vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule, including a few that are out in the ocean waiting to come into the river. So we've been having busy ship schedules the past month or so. In our marine weather forecast, southwest winds 10 to 15 knots, gusting to 20 early in the morning. We can already see that in the information from the data buoy off the mouth of the Columbia River, which I spoke about earlier during the weather report. Wind waves from the southwest about 2 feet high at 4 seconds. Southwest swells 4 feet at 8 seconds apart, and a secondary swell from the west 3 feet at 14 seconds apart. So we have today the wind waves and the dominant swells are also both from the same direction from the southwest. And so those wind waves are caused by the local wind conditions. The swells are caused by energy that was, so to speak, poured into the ocean system probably thousands of miles away across the Pacific from storms that are far away from here, but still sending that energy through the ocean in the form of waves. And today, speaking of waves, we're going to be talking about new research on rogue waves that kind of explains how they're created, something that we really haven't been too clear about. And so this relates to kind of a smaller rogue wave phenomenon that we see here on the coast, which is the sneaker wave, a wave that can rise up out of nowhere and crash high up on the beach and injure and even kill people. So out in the ocean, much larger waves rise up out of nowhere. They were considered mythical at one time, back before they had the technology to document them. But now they've been doing experiments in Scotland at a university, and they seem to have figured out how to create a rogue wave. So we'll talk about that in just a minute. But first, a look at our Columbia River ship schedule. We have 6 inbounders. We have 8 in the Astoria Anchorage. We have 4 at the Rice Island Anchorage, a little upriver from Astoria, 6 outbounders heading downriver and out to sea. Our first arrival in the river is the Thetis. She's arriving from South Korea, headed for the Astoria Anchorage, probably arrived there at about 4 a.m. The BBC Ruby is arriving from China, headed for the port of Vancouver. She'll probably pass Astoria inbound around 9:30. Or 8:30 or so. The Capitan Georgis is arriving from China, headed for the port of Portland. She'll pass Astoria around 11:30 a.m. You might see her in about 6 hours later in Portland. The BW Argonne is arriving from Sacramento. She's headed for Astoria's anchorage and will be there probably by about 7:30 p.m. The ANSAC Moonbear is arriving from Japan. She's headed for the port of Portland. Her cargo, you can tell from her name, is soda ash, ANSAC, ANSAC, American Natural Soda Ash Corporation. These are ships that are dedicated to one cargo, which is unusual for bulk carriers. A lot of the bulk carriers that come into the Columbia River are what are sort of colloquially referred to as tramp ships, in the sense that they're like semi-trucks for hire and their cargo changes all the time. But with these ANSAC vessels, they belong to a company that just handles soda ash. And so when they come in, you can just look at their name and know what their cargo is. The Glovis Sigma is arriving from Vancouver, British Columbia, headed for the port of Portland. Brand new Hyundai is there, so she's a high-sided car carrier. She will pass Astoria inbound about 9:30 tonight, and probably about 6 hours later will be at the port of Portland. In the Astoria Anchorage, we have the Lyric Harmony. She's a bulk carrier headed to Longview to pick up wheat, left about 1 a.m., so maybe about 4:30 this morning she arrived there. The Thetis that is coming into the river, came into the river early this morning, will be headed for Vancouver to pick up wheat about noontime. That would put her in Vancouver by about 6 p.m. And awaiting orders in the Astoria Anchorage off the downtown waterfront, we have the Fiji, the Sea Melody One, the Agios Nicholas, the Crimson Monarch, the Ogna, the Atlantic Eagle. And at the Rice Island Anchorage, a little bit upriver from Astoria, just a little bit upriver from Tongue Point on the Washington side, we have the Sea Proteus, the Bonita, the Chris, and the Avalon awaiting orders there. And our outbounders, the Luenho, is leaving the port of Portland, soda ash on board there. She's headed out to sea at about 4 a.m., so maybe you might see her about 10 a.m. outbound. The Navios Northern Star is leaving leaving Portland with wheat on board at about 5:30 a.m., so maybe around 11:30 this morning. We'll see her passing Astoria outbound. The VSC Poseidon is leaving Longview with wheat on board at about, she left about 5:30 a.m., so about 3.5 hours or so. See her passing Astoria. The Wookiee is leaving Vancouver with wheat on board at about 10:30 this morning, so about 4:30 p.m. outbound. We'll see her past Astoria. The Rapallo is leaving Kalama with wheat on board at about 12:30 p.m. She'll be passing Astoria around 5:30 p.m. And the peak Proteus is leaving Kalama. Corn, soy, or wheat are the likely cargoes there. She could have all three on board in different cargo holds. The cargo holds are separate, and they can hold. In fact, some of the ships that we see stop at more than one port when they're before they head out of the river when they come in to pick up cargo, because they're putting different cargoes from different places in different cargo holds. So she'll be heading out about midnight. That would put her past Astoria outbound around 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. Well, rogue waves, a very interesting phenomenon. I've talked to mariners who have dealt with them at sea, a big wave rising up out of nowhere, relatively calm sea state, and all of a sudden a gigantic wave rises up out of nowhere. It can be very problematic for vessels, because if they're not ready for it, it could be swamped. They could be swamped by a wave coming at them from the wrong way. This is from the University of Oxford, and the headline is Famous Freak Wave Recreated in Lab. So a team of researchers, I'll read you part of it, a team of researchers based at the Universities of Oxford and Edinburgh have recreated for the first time the famous Draupner freak wave measured in the North Sea in 1995. The Draupner wave was one of the first confirmed observations of a freak or rogue wave in the ocean. It was observed on the 1st of January in 1995 in the North Sea by measurements made on the Draupner oil platform. So this was an oil rig out there. They had wave monitoring equipment. And a freak wave, a rogue wave, just rose up out of nowhere. Freak waves are unexpectedly large in comparison to surrounding waves. They're difficult to predict, often appearing suddenly without warning, and are commonly attributed as probable causes for maritime catastrophes, such as the sinking of large ships. A team of researchers set out to reproduce the Draupner wave under laboratory conditions to understand how this freak wave was formed in the ocean. They successfully achieved this reconstruction by creating the wave using two smaller wave groups and varying the cross angle, the angle at which the two groups travel. So it was the crossing angle between the two smaller groups of waves that proved critical to the successful reconstruction of this wave. Researchers found that it was only possible to reproduce a rogue wave when the crossing angle between the two groups was approximately 120 degrees. So there's something that is really new. I mean, we knew that it was caused by interactions between waves, but how to predict that? So if you remember your high school geometry, if you ever used a protractor, 90 degrees is a straight 90 degree angle, as we all know. 180 degrees is like a diameter of a circle, and so in between there is 120 degrees. So two waves coming at one another at 120 degrees can create this rogue wave. When waves are not crossing, wave breaking limits the height a wave can achieve. However, when the waves cross at those large angles, like 120 degrees, the wave breaking behavior changes and no longer limits the height that a wave can achieve in that same manner. So this is the first time that I've ever seen any research that indicates that they can predict and recreate, and they were able to recreate in a laboratory a large rogue wave. Wow, very unusual. Could really help a lot to predict and help protect vessels at sea. You're listening to The Ship Report, a show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.